So we're going to look at how Jesus heals us and others. And during the worship, I was reminded of this verse, which is quite a startling verse in Mark chapter 6. Jesus goes back to his hometown, the town where he grew up. Put your hand up if you knew which town Jesus grew up in. Nazareth, okay, Ugo can have a counter. Jane, if you can be my school lady. Just like on The Price is Right, I'm not sure if there wasn't. Anyway, back to the Bible. So, Nazareth. So Jesus went back to Nazareth, and the people in Nazareth, when they heard him preach in the synagogue on the Sabbath, they said, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joses, Judas, and Simon?" So that tells us Jesus had four brothers. "And are not his sisters here with us?" So he had at least two sisters. So it just shows how God blessed Mary after she was supernaturally pregnant with Jesus. She went on to have many more children. "So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house.' Now Jesus could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching." Isn't it interesting that in Nazareth, Jesus could only heal a few sick people and he couldn't do any mighty miracles there? That's very interesting. And and that verse tells us why. He marveled because of their unbelief. How many of you have read either the whole of Matthew, the whole of Mark, the whole of Luke, or the whole of John? Put your hand up if any of you have read the whole of the Gospels. That's good. So you should be able, you're then qualified to answer this next question. As a percentage, how many sick people who came to Jesus and said to Jesus, "Please, will you heal me?" What percentage of those people did Jesus heal? Karen? 100%. So Karen can have a token. Jane? 100%. And, you know, that that is very significant, I believe. And in my lifetime, I've prayed for many sick people, but my percentage is not 100%. And in the church I grew up in, the Bible teaching on the subject of healing was not accurate. I was kind of taught that, well, if God wants to heal you, he will. If he doesn't want to heal you, it may be because he wants you to stay sick, in which case, tough, you've just got to suck it up and, you know, and live with it. And because of that wrong teaching, that inaccurate teaching, whenever I needed healing and I prayed, a voice in my head said, "Well, God doesn't want to heal you. You're not good enough. You know, you've committed too many sins. You haven't tidied your bedroom enough," because I was a child for some of this period, or whatever else it might have been, or you've punched your brother or whatever. So I was always kind of disqualified, and so I never actually received any healing from the Lord. And what I was suffering from, and that church I grew up in was suffering from, was what Nazareth was suffering from: unbelief. In other words, we've been taught incorrectly from the Bible that sometimes God wants us to stay sick and be sick, and God has a purpose and sometimes makes people sick for a purpose, and that resulted in unbelief, which stopped me receiving any miracles or healing from the Lord. And how did Jesus react to this marvelous unbelief? He was amazed at their unbelief. It says he went about their villages in a circuit teaching. So this tells us that the antidote to unbelief is to teach correctly and accurately the Bible on healing. And when I was from about the age of 18, I came across some much better Bible teachers who had accurately understood the Bible in healing. And I started listening to that teaching, and instead of unbelief, my faith grew. And so much so that when I was about 20, I received miraculous healing from chronic nosebleeds that had been making my life a misery for 10 years. And I've shared that testimony many times. So let's move on and look at the first slide. Oh, I've got the clicker. Right, so I can do this. Right, so let's have a look. So, anyone who wants to volunteer to read this first scripture can have a counter. Ugo, can you read this first scripture?
When Jesus came to down from the mountainside.
When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowd followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you're willing to make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, he was cleansed from his leprosy.
Great reading, Hugo. Wow, I think you could get a job in Hollywood with that voice, voiceover artist of the future. It really brought out the drama of the thing. So this is an amazing passage. This is a very specific instance where a guy with leprosy, which was incurable back then, you know, your fingers dropped off, your toes dropped off, in the end it would kill you. And it was contagious, there was no cure, and they were supposed to stay segregated, you know, like locked down, they had to keep their distance. And yet this man bravely approaches Jesus, which he wasn't allowed to do. It was kind of locked down if he had leprosy. He broke the lockdown regulations. He approached Jesus and he asked Jesus, "Lord, if you're willing, if you want to, you can make me clean." Now, most Christians will accept that God can heal. I think we all believe that, don't we? Anyone who believes in Jesus Christ will generally accept that God can heal. But the $64 million question is, does he want to heal me right now? When you're sick, that is the question you need the answer to. And I always like to base my beliefs on the Bible. More specifically, I like to base my beliefs on Jesus Christ. So here, you can't get better than this. This is a specific individual. It doesn't tell us anything about him. He could be quite sinful. He could have had quite a dodgy past. All we know is he had leprosy. He comes to Jesus and he asks this $64 million question. Jesus, do you want to heal me? And strictly speaking, in the law of Moses, you know, it says you're not supposed to do this. You're supposed to segregate yourself. But it says Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. And he said, "I am willing." In other words, "I want to be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. And I was hoping some volleyball players were going to come in then, but they chickened out, I think. But anyway, so this shows us God's attitude to us as his children. When we suffer sickness and disease, he wants to heal us. And I encourage you to meditate on this scripture. If you've been in a church for years where they, you know, we're teaching the kind of what I call the big lottery approach to healing, which is, you know, if God wants to, he will. If he doesn't, tough. This is a great scripture to meditate on. Would someone else like to volunteer to read the next passage? Cliff? Okay. It's up on the screen.
Thank you. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her. She got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. Isaiah 53:4.
Thank you, Cliff. And James, so Ugo and Cliff can have encounters if they want one. So this is quoting, this is in Matthew's Gospel. This is the same chapter as the healing of the leper at the beginning of the chapter. So this is, Jesus has been healing all the sick. I like that word all. Who can tell me what the word all means? Everything. It's very simple. Jesus healed all the sick. And this is typical of his healing ministry throughout the Gospels. And Matthew, a Jewish follower of Jesus, he knew his Old Testament. He knew the prophecy of Isaiah, which we're going to look at on the next slide. And in Isaiah 53, it says, Jesus carried our infirmities and bore our diseases. Now, some Christians try and spiritualize that passage and say, well, what he means is spiritual sicknesses and spiritual diseases. The reason I like this passage from Matthew 8 is it clearly is talking about physical sicknesses and physical diseases, and demon possession as well. Jesus took them. So this prophecy is telling us that the reason Jesus died on the cross was to rescue us not only from sin, but also to rescue us from sickness. I think this battery may have died in here, so I might need you to... Yeah, it needs a new battery. So just a little summary of Bible history. Where does sickness come from? In the beginning, God created the world perfectly. The young adults know this slide well. We use it regularly. Why is the world in such a mess? Because Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They rebelled against God. They rejected. They refused to believe that God was good and had the best in mind for them. They thought they could do better than God, going their own way. And that brought death and sin. And sickness is a kind of symptom of that. It's a kind of premature sign of death. You know, sicknesses, things start going wrong with our bodies. And the older we get, the greater challenge it is to deal with sickness and our bodies getting old and worn out. The good news is that Jesus came to fix the mess that Adam and Eve got into. And in the future, God is going to restore the world. So there will be no death. You know, in Revelation chapter 2, there'll be no death, there'll be no crying, there'll be no sickness, there'll be no disease, there'll be no pain. Yeah, I think these batteries have died. So if you could move to the next slide, please, Cliff. So I'm just looking at the time. I'm going to fast forward, so I'm just going to read these for the sake of time. Yet, this is Isaiah chapter 53, New Living Translation. It says, talking about Jesus, this was a prophecy 700 years before Jesus was born. It describes him being pierced, which was, you know, kind of unique to crucifixion, really. So it was a prophecy about Jesus' death. In Isaiah 53, it says, yet it was our sicknesses Jesus carried. It was our diseases that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. This scripture is probably the best chapter I know of in the Old Testament that explains the reason Jesus died on the cross. And, you know, it's just a wonderful passage. It's great to use with Muslims who believe that Jesus did not die on the cross. It's great to believe, to use with Jews who accept it's part of their Bible. And it's pretty obvious who it's talking about once you dig into it in depth. But for you and me, it's telling us that Jesus dealt with our sins and our sicknesses at the same time, in the same place, and in the same way. Psalm 103 verse 2, I quoted this last Sunday. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. How many of your diseases does God heal?
All of them.
Okay, so that's everything from an ingrown toenail or a mild cold to terminal cancer. They are all covered. Now, I'll just say, you know, since I've discovered, had this revelation from God, I've been praying for many sick people. I've seen some people healed from cancer, and I've seen some people die from cancer. And we'll get onto that in a minute. But what this is talking about is Jesus' death and resurrection and why he died on the cross. So as a Christian, we need to base our faith on Jesus Christ and what the Word of God says. Often our experience does not live up to what we see in God's Word. Amen. Not just in the area of healing, but in other areas. However, God wants us to put our hope and our faith in Jesus Christ and his word. And there's a lovely scripture I know in Hebrews 11 that I like to refer people to, where it's talking about all the Old Testament heroes of faith. You know, Abraham, Moses, David, all the way down there. And then towards the end of that chapter, the writer of Hebrews says, all of these Old Testament heroes of faith died in faith, not having seen what they were expecting and hoping for and believing for. They were believing for the Messiah, Jesus, to come and put the world right. So whenever I meet someone who's sick or unwell, I always encourage them to put their hope in Jesus. I always encourage them to put their faith in Jesus, and I always encourage them to trust in the Lord for complete and total healing. Now, in those occasions in my life where I've done that and sadly the person has died, if they're a Christian, I can't be that sad because they've gone to be with the Lord. And I like to use that scripture in Hebrews that they died in faith. They didn't see the manifestation of the healing that they were trusting God and hoping God for, but never mind, they're with all the Old Testament saints and they're having a great time now. So even if we lose, we win, amen, in the spiritual battle that is healing that we all face. So I'll just throw that in there. So God forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagle's. Who wants a renewed youth like an eagle? Yeah, amen. As I get older, that promise is more appreciated every year. Praise God. So this tells us the reason that Father God gave Jesus as our sacrifice and the reason Jesus volunteered to suffer and die on the cross for us, for you, for me, put your name in there, was so that all our sins can be forgiven and all our diseases healed. Who believes that all your sins have been forgiven? Amen. Who believes that all your diseases have been healed? Okay, that's often a harder one to answer, but when you see it in God's word, God treats both problems in exactly the same way. He fixed them both at exactly the same time, by the same person, and in the same way. And when I got a revelation of that from the Holy Spirit and my spirit, it completely changed my attitude to receiving healing. It's not like I'm trying to persuade God to give me healing and he's thinking, shall I give God John healing or not? It's the fact that Jesus paid for it on the cross when he paid for my sins. And the question I have to receive is, do I want to receive forgiveness of sins? Yes, I do. And I did many years ago. Although I struggled for about 10 years believing that God had really forgiven all my sins until it was settled through a revelation of the Bible by the Holy Spirit to my spirit. And the same thing was the process around healing. Now I have settled in my spirit that God does want to heal me of disease, and any sickness or disease that attacks my body, I need to treat it the same as I would sin. I want to resist it and I want to trust God for healing from it. We receive healing from Jesus the same way we receive forgiveness, by trusting God, not our feelings. Particularly when you're feeling really ill, it's not easy. Let's go to the next slide, please, Cliff. Here's a great scripture from Proverbs 4. My son, pay attention to my words. Look at the words I've highlighted. And be willing to learn. Open your ears to my sayings. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing and health to all their flesh. The word there is like medicine. You know, I have to take some tablets for high cholesterol, and they definitely help keep my cholesterol down. But this verse is saying that God's words are like medicine, and the more we hear them, well, the more we look at them, and the more we put them in our hearts, then the result of those words is healing and health to all their flesh, every single part of your body. In other words, anything that can go wrong with your body, if you put God's words in the center of your heart and listen to them and look at them, they will release healing to that part of your body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from its flow the springs of life. Remember, Jesus said, anyone who believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from where? Not down from heaven, from your innermost being, talking about your spirit, where the Holy Spirit lives. And this ties in with this scripture that, you know, from your hearts flow the springs of life. So if God's word is in my heart, the healing power of the Holy Spirit that flowed through Jesus will flow from my spirit like rivers of living water. In Romans chapter 8, it says the same spirit who raised Christ from the dead will give life to what? your mortal body. Who's got a mortal body here today? That means one day it's going to be in a grave unless Jesus comes back first. One day you will have a funeral unless Jesus comes back first. So that verse in Romans 8 says the Holy Spirit will give resurrection life, that's the context, to your mortal body through his Spirit who lives in you. And this really helped me. You know, in your mind's eye, just imagine you've got a massive fountain of healing power in your spirit. And you can control the tap that releases that into your body. The same resurrection life that raised Jesus from the dead could heal me from a cold or from heart disease or from cancer, whatever the doctors say you have. And the Bible will tell you how to open that tap, how to release that living water. And this is a key scripture, how to open the tap. You need to focus your attention on the right things. Let your ears hear the right things. God's words. Let your heart be filled with the right things. And so obviously that's a challenge. If the doctor said you've got 3 months to live, there's a battle going on in your mind and in your heart. Are these words going to dominate there, or is the doctor's words going to dominate there? You know, and is your mental picture, which is what the Bible talks about when it says hope, is your mental picture of being you dying when the doctor says you're going to die? Is your mental picture going to be you walking, living for another 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years because God's word is promising you healing? So the Bible, that's hope. What you are picturing in your mind about the future is how God designed the human being to function in terms of hope. The Bible's hope is based on what God says, because what God says is certain and sure. So when I was battling against chronic nosebleeds, the first thing that the Holy Spirit did for me was change the picture in my imagination from being sick with nosebleeds for the last 10 years and for the next 10 years to the picture of me being free of nosebleeds. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things unseen or things hoped for. It says both. It says things unseen and things hoped for. So in other words, you can't trust God for something you can't picture in your imagination being true in the future in your life. That is what that's saying. So when God healed me of nosebleeds, first I got this picture in my mind of me being free of nosebleeds. I read Isaiah 53 and I realized Jesus took those nosebleeds in his body on the cross, so I don't have to suffer them anymore. So I'm not going to suffer them anymore. I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to trust him for healing, and I'm going to receive healing, and I'm going to be well. And so in my mind was that picture of me without them. And then my faith in God's word used that hope. It brought it into reality. The substance of what I hoped for, freedom from nosebleeds, became a reality in my body through faith. And that's the way every person who receives healing from Jesus now, that's how it works. And, you know, healing meetings where people pray for you, that's kind of second best in many ways, because there's like an intermediary between you and God. But as a child of God, we can each receive health and healing from our Father God directly, okay? Progressively, instantly, however it works, but it works through hope by faith. Amen. So the words of Father God and Jesus' Son are like seeds of healing and life that we can plant in our hearts, imagination and minds. They release health and healing to every cell of our bodies. What we give our mental attention to, what we listen to and look at, affects what we believe and the words we speak from our mouths. You know, some of the people I've seen who were trusted, you know, they had some faith for God to heal them, but certainly the ones who died, they were really battling against years of unbelief, of thinking, well, I don't know if God really does want to heal me, if Jesus really did. Or often they have well-meaning relatives who just surround them all the time saying, oh, you're going to die, I'm so sad, and all this stuff. And that is not an environment which is conducive to you, to this process being effective when you're in a real battle for your health. Let's go to the next slide. And I think we're going to stop there, actually. So if you just go forward till the last slide, please, Cliff. I'll come back to these another time. And the next one. Yeah, so what we can maybe perhaps talk about, what I'll do the next time I preach, we'll look at how the teaching about the Holy Communion relates to healing, and how receiving the Holy Communion as often as you want to is a wonderful way for you to trust God and to receive progressive healing. And that is when I got that understanding of those scriptures, it was such a blessing in my life. And Karen and I took communion together last night just to receive healing for ourselves, and we can do that whenever we want. So I'll teach on that on another occasion. So here's some great questions to discuss. Do you find it easy or hard to believe that God wants to heal you from sickness? And your answer to that question will probably be related to how much accurate teaching from the Bible you've heard over your lifetime. Number two, do you believe that Jesus took all your sicknesses from you on the cross in the same way he took all your sins? And which do you find easier to believe? Number three, when you are attacked by sickness and disease, to what extent do you fix your eyes on God's healing promises in the Bible and speak his promises to your body rather than feel sorry for yourself and just moan and groan or you know, whatever we normally do when we feel really ill? Okay, so we'll just finish there, and we're going to receive communion. So if someone would like to pass the bread, we have two volunteers to pass the bread.